That would be nice as we're into the 8 o'clock hour. And Mark Vandermeer is brought to you by Mattress Firm, the voice of the Texans.
Yeah!
I want to reflect for a moment. This has been a freaking crazy week, starting last Friday at 4:15. Just a crazy, crazy week.
My favorite part of the week was when I was still high on painkillers
from
my
surgery,
and I was angrily texting Mark Vandermeer.
What the hell
happened
here?
I don't even remember. Sorry about that,
no,
by the way.
I don't think you were angry.
Oh, okay. Sometimes it looks angrier in text than, yeah.
So let's reflect for a moment here. Mark, what do you think happened with this whole situation with Brian Gaines?
Well, look, I don't know all the inner working. You know, there's a musical, Hamilton. Everybody knows about it, right?
Yes.
They have a song, The Room Where It Happens, right? I'm not in the room where it happens.
Yeah.
But I could tell you, just looking at it, not all marriages end happily, right? Or go on forever. Many of them, half, whatever the stat is, end in divorce. And I think
all of them, even the successful ones, end up with one of the partners dying first.
True.
First dissolves the marriage, yeah. Right. If you have a really successful marriage, it will end with one of you dying.
Yeah, but that could be later, Seth. Yeah,
right.
Happy Friday.
I'm just pointing
Happy Friday.
Go ahead.
One of you will die first.
Breaking news.
Back
we are
this.
All going to die. Breaking news. Oh, my gosh.
But you might find that person you really, really, really love, and then one of you will die.
Yeah, but, you know, if you go to, like, 85, 90, you're like, okay, good run. We're all set.
Yeah, good run.
As far as this goes, though, look, if it's not going to work out, if the marriage is not going to work, and you know it's not going to work, is it best to keep it going, try to work it out, or is it best to say, let's go our separate ways and go on a new path here?
The solution? Have a child. That's what you do.
Oh,
you have a child
that
to
works,
save
Seth.
The marriage. Yes.
No, that is
that's textbook. What they should have done.
Textbook, not
Brian,
the right
Brian
thing to do.
Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien should have had a kid together. They should have adopted a kid.
Who's the little kid? Well, it's a long story.
Or at least, okay, big brother, little sister program. Big brother. Yeah.
I'm in a weird spot, though, with this because, okay, on one hand, Seth has pointed this out. Like, all right, how good is Brian Gain at his job anyway? Like, this guy might be a replacement level GM. I get it. At the same time, though, I kind of feel duped with the last 17 months, and this is not like an insignificant period of time. This is a precious time when Deshaun Watson is cheap and you can win, like a lot of NFL teams have, like the Rams and like the Eagles. And I remember,
I get it. But the duped. I mean, look.
Let me expand.
They were like, hey, we know this isn't going to work. Let's hire somebody who we know we're going to let go of in 17 months.
But here's
they're
the
doing
thing.
Like that. They went in with a lot of passion and drive and.
Yes.
And good feelings. And obviously it didn't end up that way, but you move on quickly. I think when you look at the acquisitions, when you look at the draft choices from 2018, look pretty good. Okay. Let's see how this class is. We don't know yet. You know, you might say, well, I know the complaints. I've heard them. Well, they weren't aggressive enough in free agency. They got a lot of options here. Let's see how it works out. And to me, you know, this whole thing could be very unrelated to all that. You know, there are a lot of other aspects. You've read the reports about going into a general manager performance, and maybe those things contributed to this as well.
What I struggled, though, is, you know, 17 months ago we're sitting here, and I remember when you came in one of those times and you said, hey, the guy that they should bring in that I would seriously consider is Brian Gain. This is not a you thing, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you mentioned Brian Gain, and organizationally, this is not, as Jerome Salomon wrote, this is not a guy they found on LinkedIn or through a recommendation. This is a guy who was in the building for
LinkedIn.
3 years.
Right.
So this is a guy who they knew. Cecil Shorts told the story a Saturday on Sports Radio 610 that when he played for the Texans, he even noticed that Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain behind the scenes seemed to really get along, have a really good relationship. And so I do think that the organization takes a hit for making what seems what they are saying is the wrong hire in Brian Gain.
Well, there's no question that it did not work out, because look where we are right now, and that things clearly changed. Because you're right, he was here for 3 years and people got along and they hired him for a reason. Otherwise, they would have moved on to the next candidate if they didn't think he could do the job. But once you get into that chair, as we all know, anybody who has not been the boss and then you become the boss, you know how hard it is to become the boss. And all the different aspects of being a general manager. What do the fans see? They see drafting. They see free agent acquisitions. They think that's it. That's not it. That's not the only thing or the only things that you have to do as general manager. So being such a wide net, clearly things weren't going as well as they wanted as an organization. Look, Cal McNair's in the building. Cal McNair is not like, you know, off sunning himself somewhere. He's in the building every day and he's in the mix, you know, so he's in the meetings and he's in the draft room and he's in places where he can see what's happening. And he made this decision.
Well, and I think, Mike, this is where I think you get stuck, Mike, is that you keep like continually coming to the revelation that like, oh, Brian Gain was a bad hire. And you're like, but he was a bad hire. I'm like, yeah, I get it, Mike.
Yes.
What? Okay. But he was a bad hire. Like, all right, yeah, it happens. So the question is, the relevant
what
question
do you do
is,
about it?
The relevant question is, what do you do about it and how do you make sure you don't make the same mistake? So what are we, if we're looking at Nick Caserio here, what's the difference between Caserio and Brian Gain? Like, how do you see it?
Well, I think there are a lot of differences. If that's the candidate, there are a lot of differences. But let's go back to this. Like you said, you feel duped. Well, how do you think they feel that it didn't work? They don't feel good. No one feels good about it not working out. I'm sure everybody would rather say it was fantastic and everybody's kumbaya and we're winning a Super Bowl together. But it was not the case. They got to move on. But I think what you're saying is, why didn't they see it coming? And I think it's
exactly.
It's more difficult than you think, obviously, because why do most head coaches get fired? They don't last. I mean, how many head coaches have been hired and fired since O'Brien took over? O'Brien's been winning, but, you know, he wants to win a lot more than he has. The point is this. It's tough, man. It's tough to figure out who's going to be a success or not.
I think, like,
obviously, it just didn't work out.
Like, something a lot of our listeners have probably been through, like, in your office setting, your mm-hmm. business setting. Like, whether you do it, like, this is blue collar, white collar. The person that's an awesome employee, like on the job site or the best salesperson in the crew, they get elevated to sales manager, they get elevated to foreman. Sometimes they become completely different people, for better or for worse. The guy that you think like, he's a little too chummy with his pals, he's not going to be a good foreman, all of a sudden he becomes foreman and he's like, oh wow, he's kind of a hard ass, like in a good way. But likewise, there's other ones that just, everybody changes a little bit and you can't, you can never completely predict how somebody's going to be in that role.
So were they wrong? Yeah, they were wrong.
But I also think that what you guys might be ignoring here is this. This is not an organization, the Texans, that's known for, hey, things aren't working out, we're going to make a rapid decision to get rid of a guy. Let's keep the context in mind. And by context, I mean the last 17 years. And I know it's a new owner, and I get that. But think about this. Charlie Casserly, Rick Smith, Dom Capers, Gary Kubiak. Mm. This is not an organization that's like, hey, things aren't working out.
Wait, but were you saying that was a great state of affairs? It doesn't seem to me that you were always lauding that.
No.
So now all of a sudden, like, I think the lady doth protest too much.
I get that. I'm not saying they were doing it right, but I'm saying it's definitely very different. This is a different way of doing business. And I don't know if you got this sense, Mark, but when I was there on Tuesday at NRG when O'Brien was facing the inquisition from the media, he did not seem to me like a guy, and I could be totally naive on this point, totally naive, but he did not seem like a guy. Well, first of all, he didn't seem like a guy who had a ton of job security, number one, and I could be naive on that point. But number two, I definitely did not get the feeling that Cal McNair was all that thrilled about, hey, we went 11-5, won the division, but got killed in the playoffs. I got the feeling that Cal McNair was not thrilled by the way the season ended.
But I think all that can be true. You can have a good organization and have all that be true at the same time, where nobody's happy about the way they lost in the playoffs. They all want a better performance.
True.
And, you know, job security for coaches, what is that, really? You know, if you're at the beginning of a five-year deal, all right, maybe there's more security. But if you're going to lose and lose bad, that's not good. And probably changes will be made. Now, you're right. Bob was very patient. There's no question about that. You know, the Dom Capers thing was 4 years. It was an expansion team. So that was actually, I don't want to say that was quick, but all right, 4 years didn't work out. Let's go. They went 2-14. So
yep.
I don't want to say Dom made it easy for him. But Casserly, you know, Casserly built the thing. That was 4 years as well. But he did do the fifth draft. And I think that, you know, Seth brought it up at one point.
Ooh.
Casserly and Kubiak working together on that draft, that was a hell of a draft, you know?
Yeah, so it was.
Hey,
it was.
See, then I had to go. See? They escorted me out the building. After, they didn't really, you know.
They wanted alignment.
No, it was a very nice parting of the ways with Charlie Casserly.
The most uncomfortable press conference I can remember maybe in Texans history was when, in that 2-14 season.
I know where you're going.
We brought in, the McNairs brought in Dan Reeves as a consultant.
That
and they
was
had,
something.
They had a press conference where it was Bob McNair, Dan Reeves, and Charlie Casserly sitting at the table presenting what was going on and how it wasn't a big deal. It was just Dan Reeves coming in to, like, just take a look at everything. Charlie looked so miserable. Like, Charlie looked like he was seething. And, like, Charlie was pretty good at, like, playing the political game and everything. Yeah. It was, like, it was uncomfortable. I don't get uncomfortable easily. I was uncomfortable watching this on television.
Everybody assumed Dan Reeves was going to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans.
My yeah. goodness.
He's got a pretty good record, too, you know, when you look at what he's done in Atlanta and the Giants.
I grew up watching Dan Reeves as a coach. God, he bored me.
It was weird. You know what? It was, I thought... For one, too, we've gotten to the point in that season where you can kind of tell, like, I felt bad because, like, I like these coaches. And, like, I feel like we let down Dom Capers and everybody's getting fired. But if you're trying to, like, maintain some semblance of respectability as a season played out, having Dan Reeves on the sideline, we had some damn good and crisp practices. Right. Like, there's, like, you're like, oh, I've got a new guy and this is my first impression on him. I ought to be sure I get a good report from Dan
the
Reeves.
The next game, that press conference was on a Tuesday or something. The next day, the next game was Arizona. Carr called his own plays, and you rolled them.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
With David calling the plays.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking, are we overthinking this sport?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, oh,
how the quarterback
run. The answer to that is always yes. Yeah. Like, 100% yes.
Always.
But, like, usually, the problem is coaches are like, you know how people are with gambling tips? Like, right. The vast majority of gambling and stock tips are bogus, but you get one that's legitimate, and you're, like, hooked for life.
It validates the entire industry.
This is what coaches do. They come up with one good idea at 3 a.m., like, one time. And then from in their minds, that's the key. So they go like they go without sleep for months at a time because one time they came up with a good idea at 3 a.m. Yes, they way overthink it.